Welcome to Bible Mysteries. What if there are secrets in the Bible the world doesn't want you to know? You're listening to episode 179, The Depopulation Agenda. Now here are your hosts, Scott and John.
Bible Mysteries Podcast. I'm Scott Mitchell.
And I'm John Potts, and this is the show that talks about things in the Bible that the world doesn't want you to know.
John, we've been talking about some things that the world doesn't like us to talk about, too.
No.
Which is the Luciferians.
Yeah.
And today we're going to get into something that's probably going to get us censored or something like that, because we're going to talk about the depopulation agenda.
Well, censorship's okay as long as guys in little black suits don't show up in my house.
I'm more concerned with the guys in the little white suits with the jacket with the hands that tie in the back.
They're coming to take me away, haha.
They'll probably find a way to do that too. Because we tried to expose the Luciferians last week, and we're going to expose one of their agendas today,
Okay. Which
is depopulation. So before we dive into that disturbing topic, let's go ahead and welcome our latest seekers.
Absolutely. So we want to say thank you to the following new subscribers, premium subscribers, who we call seekers, and they are Gloria S., David O., Jeff T., Pam B., Paul Q., and Jamie B., all of which became subscribers in October of last year. Thank you all very much.
Yes, thank you so much. October was a real boost for us. We had quite a lot of activity that month. And, you know, we had a lot of activity that tends to pop up a little surge or spike of interest in the show whenever I'm on Coast to Coast with George Noory.
Yeah, huge blessing right there.
It really is. And so I, first of all, I want to just say thank you to Lisa Lyons and George Noory. They're the producer and host of the show that has me back every time. And as a matter of fact, we've been reading some testimonial reviews from listeners. And the next two, I think, are both connected to Coast to Coast. So why don't I let you read the next two testimonials?
Yeah, absolutely. So this one comes from Jeff B. And Jeff says, "Peace be to you, brothers, and grace from the soon-coming King of Kings. I heard you on Coast to Coast, and I must say the anointing on you was great, which opened the door for you to share the gospel. By the grace of God, good work, and keep this up. And this is a growing field of ministry for certain." So thank you,
Amen.
Jeff.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff. You know, he talked about anointing, and I glean from that he's showing how the Lord can open a door and give us a door of utterance, even on something that's a secular program that does not cater to like Christian theological thinking. George is very gracious and open-minded to allow me to almost proclaim the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, so I appreciate
it. He's giving you an audience of people out there across the country that maybe are seeking out the truth.
I hope so.
You know, well, and there's a reason that God's putting you on that show on Coast to Coast, so has to be right. So the second one here is from J.A. Williams, and he writes, Pastor Scott was on Coast to Coast AM on February 8th of 2024. He did a great job, and it was entertaining. He was able to reach a massive audience and spread the good news. Let's give it up to Pastor Scott and hope for this ministry to grow. Thank you, J.A., and also give it up for Coast to Coast and George Noory for having you on, right?
Yeah, I'd say give it up for Coast to Coast and certainly to the Lord for opening the door. And I praise God. I hope they'll continue to have me anytime they can, because we'll just reach a few more every time.
Absolutely.
You know? But we just praise God for every door of utterance that he gives us. You know, other podcasts as well, when I've been on a guest on other shows, you know, that opens other doors to another audience as well. And I guess I should say that one of the doors we're trying to open to continue to do more is our live Q&A, which will be coming up soon. I forgot to look at the date on it, but March, it'll be the last Thursday in March.
Okay. And so it's the last Thursday of every month?
We're going to try to do that, Lord willing, as long as we can.
Yeah.
And it's open to anybody. While, of course, our seekers are making it possible, and we're encouraging mm-hmm. you to subscribe to the podcast if you want to help promote this and help support this ministry. But it's open to anybody that wants to join us. And the mm-hmm. platforms we're streaming to right now for the live Q&A are Facebook and YouTube.
Okay.
So join us if you can. It'll be 8 p.m. Central Time on the next, the last Thursday in March, which I forgot to recall the date. But
okay.
Just look on a calendar for the last Thursday in March. And by that time, it will have been daylight savings, which okay. I hate that they changed the calendar, the clock, I mean. You know, when the Bible talks about they seek to change times, that comes to my mind.
I thought we were doing away with the whole daylight savings
thing. I wish we would.
There was a vote on it or something, but anyways, back to the live Q&A.
No, it must suit the satanic agenda because it disrupts our circadian rhythms.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's intentional that they want to keep us in this awful state of lethargy or whatever they're mm-hmm. doing. They're doing all kinds of things to harm us.
Well, you can always move to Arizona. I don't think that they pay attention to it out there.
Other countries don't either.
Yeah.
It's just the stupid United States that does it, you know. And if there's one thing smart the Arizonians do, it's that, in my opinion. You know. Anyway, let's talk about the depopulation agenda, John.
Okay.
Last week, we discussed the Luciferians or the satanic global elites,
yeah.
but I think I'm going to start calling them Luciferians. And what we know about them is they particularly hate believers
yeah.
in the God of creation. They hate humanity, and they don't mind killing us and mm-hmm. starting wars and murdering children. But they are the reason behind almost every major war since the start of the beginning of sorrows.
Okay.
I would argue. There's been whatever history tells you is the reason for the war, it almost always comes down to these globalists manipulating
yeah.
things behind the scene once they get control of banks and armaments and yeah. things like that. They despise God. They despise his saints. And, of course, they despise his son, Jesus Christ. And they seek to control the world for their own aim and purpose,
mm-hmm.
which ultimately I suspect they're all vying for their little piece of the kingdom of Lucifer.
Yeah.
Because they must think he can defeat. They see him as the bringer of light, not mm-hmm. as the fallen enemy of God.
Yeah.
So one of the ways they demonstrate their utter disdain for humanity is their depopulation agenda, which has been in the works for a long time. You know, I kind of briefly hinted at it last week, but God said to Adam to multiply and refill up the earth,
yeah.
replenish. And the way to prevent that from happening or stop it in defiance of God's ordinance is through death and murder and war
yeah. Yeah.
and whatever. So I think that's always been their agenda. Let's start with that passage in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Another thing that's mm-hmm. under attack is the
yeah.
two genders.
Yeah.
And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I don't believe subduing the earth is modified by the statement, have dominion over the fish and the fowl and the creatures. Because you don't need to subdue animals.
Correct.
You
yeah.
know, to subdue is to put it under, to take
yeah.
back, to control. Well, the subduing is the fallen entities, fallen angels, demonic spirits,
okay.
whatever, you know. So in order to do that, they were to be fruitful and multiply. And replenish means to fill up again, even though a lot of people think that's not true, but it is.
Okay.
So we begin with the understanding that God created the earth to be inhabited by man, and he commanded Adam to multiply and replenish the earth. He gave no indication in that statement that the earth could not sustain a population as large as we have today.
Mm-hmm.
But to disguise the depopulation agenda, these Luciferians adhere to a teaching called Malthusianism. Another ism, another long $10 word.
Yeah.
But Malthusianism is an economic theory that was advanced by the English economist and demographer Thomas Malthus. So that's where the word comes from.
Okay.
He lived around 1766 to 1834. Just about 40, 50 years shy of the theosophy.
Yeah.
And Madame Blavatsky.
Blavatsky, yeah.
According to which, his theory, population growth will always tend to outpace the supply of food.
Hmm.
First presented by Malthusian in his anonymous pamphlet, An Essay on the Principle of Population as it Affects the Future Improvement of Society, with remarks on the speculations of Mr. Godwin, Mr. Condorcet, and other writers. Boy, they used to have long titles for their articles, mm-hmm. didn't they? Malthusianism represents a form of economic pessimism that challenges utopian notions of the perfectibility of human societies, as exemplified in the works of the English anarchist philosopher William Godwin. In Malthus's view, a human society free of coercive restraints is an impossible ideal because the threat of population growth will always be present. And I'll post a link to this a website where I read this from in the show notes. But essentially what they're saying is you've got those that want a utopian society.
Yeah.
You know, let's just, that's the socialist dream.
Yeah.
And he's saying, yes, it can only be had if we control the population. We got to get it down to a manageable level.
Sure.
Because there won't be enough food for everybody to have. Well, God said nothing of this.
Well, God, that makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
Right? Because if that were true, right? And what he's saying is population growth will always outpace the food supply.
Yeah.
Population growth always outpaces food. Then that means that God created humanity, and it was like either he's a cruel individual.
Doomed to start.
Or he didn't know what he was doing.
Right.
Right? Because he said, be fruitful and multiply, which meant that God either disregarded the fact that, and he was sitting in the back going, let's let him outpopulate the food supply.
or the land mass.
Or he didn't know what he was doing, right? Which is ridiculous in both regards, right?
Yeah.
I mean, God knows and knew that the earth could sustain billions and billions of people. We don't even know the number, right?
Exactly.
And this guy right here is saying, we need to control the population because we're outpacing the food supply. It makes no sense whatsoever.
It really doesn't from a spiritual standpoint. From an unbelieving standpoint, he thinks he's probably brilliant.
From someone that's an unbeliever, yeah.
And we don't know that God's intention was always if they take up all the space on the planet, I'll make a bigger one. For example, when it makes a new Earth, it could be five times larger than the one we have now. And the Earth is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, not maybe compared to a gas giant like Jupiter or Saturn.
Yeah.
But it's huge when you think about all the population of the Earth right now, which is close to 8 billion, could all fit in like the state of Oregon with enough room for everybody to grow their own food. I mean, I'm just saying that, that you know, when you talk about it, it would be concentrated. So there's so many places that are not even populated on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
The entire continent of Antarctica.
Well, they won't let you go up there.
Yeah.
Or down there. True. Is it up there or down there? It's up there. I can't remember. One of them's up, one of them's down.
It's south, regardless of whether that's up or down. For you and me, we tend to think
I'm kind of the public school education. So sorry, I don't know which side of the earth it's on. But anyways, this guy's perspective is also from the late 1700s, was that? Yeah. So by that time, maybe people didn't have the ability to really care for themselves as much. Now, I'm sure they did so much more than we do now, right? Yeah. People nowadays, if you shut the power supply off, man,
they'll be dead in 2 weeks.
The population's dying, right? Back in the late 1700s, if you think about how much of the skills had they lost to farm on their own and
today?
Hunt on, well, today, no doubt, they're completely gone. I'm saying in the late 1700s.
Well, they hadn't lost their skills yet.
But they had lost a lot since the beginning of mankind.
Oh, yeah.
All the way to 1700 AD, almost 1800 AD, the skills of humans to take care of themselves has just been because technology gets better and better, and we rely on technology, so then we just do less and less. I mean, people can't grow food anymore. I mean, it comes in the grocery store, right?
That's true.
What happens when the grocery store's gone?
Or the truckers decide to not travel anymore. That's another
which the truckers wield some enormous power, but that's a whole
They have no idea how much power they have.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could bring the country to its knees.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, interesting, you mentioned that time frame of the 1800s, because that's all kind of coinciding with the founding of this nation, the French Revolution, the Theosophical Society, you know, all within that window of time, all this stuff is kind of converging together.
Yeah.
It's almost as though, instead of having a Christian founding, America was more like founded by fallen angel and demonic entities to promote this agenda.
Interesting.
More advanced than any other nation ever done before. Because the British Empire was failing, and you know, but I'll say this: I think those ancient economic ideas by Malthus are still echoing today, and the advocates are people that we know, like Bill Gates is a Malthusian, George Soros is a Malthusian, and there's many, many others we could say. In fact, Bill Gates' father was like the president of the Malthusian Society. At one point.
I've read that before.
Yeah. And now you know what that means.
I did not know the connection there. Yeah.
So we can see a modern iteration of this ideology in the recently destroyed Georgia Guidestones, which says that in the inscription on the Guidestones, they write, the first law is maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. If 500 million people had to die to meet this standard, it would be the largest bloodbath in the history of the world.
Yeah.
You know, in history of time. Guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Boy, that sounds like the master race. That sounds Aryan, doesn't it? Whose definition of fitness and diversity and reproduction guidance is it going to be? Is it going to be Nazis or Bill Gates's? You know, unite humanity with a living new language. That's Tower of Babel, right?
Yeah, it is.
Rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Not God, not faith, not justice, but tempered reason. Back to that Luciferian idea of there's no right or wrong. It's all situational ethics. Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. Well, yeah, it depends on who's administering the justice.
I was about to say, it depends on who's in charge of the courts and the laws. This sounds like we're going to be here, and then we're going to have our 500 million minions that will, by the way, we want them to all be healthy and look good for whatever reason. Yeah. I don't know. That could be
so weird. The undesirables, we'll just exterminate them.
But you can all be fit and healthy according to our guidelines so that you can take care of us better, right? Like, be our slaves, our servants, the elites.
We're their pets to them.
Yeah.
Well, they don't see us as viable contributors of any kind. They see us as a blight, you know, as a parasite.
The useless eaters.
Useless eaters, is that what they call us?
Yeah. All right.
Let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. The last thing I want is a world court.
Yeah, world court.
Advocating the global government of the Antichrist. Avoid petty laws and useless officials. Well, I could get behind that.
Well, what I read into that is they're saying, we will judge all of that. You don't need to have your own representation. Petty laws and useless. Like, that's for you. Minions don't need all that. We'll tell you what's right and what's wrong.
Right. Let's get rid of that antiquated document called the Constitution, you know.
You don't need any of that.
Which, by the way, one discussion we should have one of these days is, are there actually any rights? Do rights really exist? Are they biblical? Did God give you the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, or did he give you the gift of life? You have no right to stand before a holy and righteous God.
That's an interesting
thing. I'll just let that roll around in the back of your brain. Yeah. I'll probably just stir it up a hornet's nest.
I like it.
Balance personal rights with social duties. In other words, the state is more important than the individual. Communism. Prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. Won't acknowledge God, but who could the infinite be? Well, it's Lucifer. That's in their mind. And then, be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. They had to say that twice because worship of the earth is their religion. Climate change, you know, protecting the environment, all that stuff. Never mind that that's all in defiance of God, who said, I'm going to burn this place up.
Yeah.
You can protect it all you want to. You can recycle all you want to, which is a scam. But ultimately, you can make it pristine so God can come burn the whole thing up. Because he is going to burn it.
Yeah, worship the creation rather than the creator.
Absolutely. So we know by the statements of the World Economic Forum and other satanic groups that a depopulation agenda still exists. Their Georgia Guidestones may not have been put there by them, but they make these statements all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're too many people. You got Yuval Noah Harari running around telling us that we're just, you know, we can download your brain and you're not. There is no soul. You know, he's telling you we're just automatons, you know. So this is a religion. And it was their tenets are literally etched in stone until it was destroyed.
Okay.
With the Georgia Guidestones. So let's dive into the scriptures about this. What does the Bible say? Well, we already read this last week, but I'm going to remind people. John 8, verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. On and on. So we've already discussed the psychopathic nature of the Luciferians because they're driven by their father, the devil. And I would argue that they are demon controlled by their murderous intent, which is as old as the devil himself.
Yeah.
Because he's the first murderer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it almost tells me that he was probably, we were asking, who did he murder?
Yeah.
What was the murder? And most of us want to point to just Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
When Cain killed Abel. But how do we know he didn't slaughter billions of entities in the angelic realm before? In the war against the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
So that kind of is a mind-blowing concept to think that.
Yeah, that's a whole other discussion.
You're an ant to him.
Yeah.
He would just as soon kill you as look at you, you know. In John chapter 10, and I kind of gave allusion to this last week or reference to this last week about the good shepherd and the door.
Okay.
But this is where Jesus has this conversation with the 12. In chapter 10 of John verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So we're back to Satan being the murderer. Mm-hmm. He's the thief. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, which he did when he died in Calvary.
Yeah.
But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, we could say that's like a false prophet or false religion or whatever. He who is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep or not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth. A hireling is like, you know, you got hired to be the guy to watch the sheep, but they're not your sheep.
Yeah,
so you don't have the same love and
you
care.
Don't care as much. Yeah.
The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says, and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And here's a nice little cryptic statement that I've discussed in other messages in the past, but he says, another sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And while that's not the subject of today's message, I would argue that the lost sheep of the house of Israel were who he is addressing right then and there. And you are my sheep, the 12 and all the believers.
Okay.
But he says, other sheep I have that are not of this fold. And that's us.
That's the Gentiles.
I would say it's all the rest of the body of Christ. Another fold, not another church.
Mm-hmm.
For years we were taught there's two churches, you know, and I don't agree with that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
One fold, one shepherd ultimately. We're all going to be one, Paul said, all brought together in the dispensation of the fullness of times. But I could see different folds. There's the nation Israel. There's the Gentile body of Christ, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the unifying of all things together in Ephesians 1, verse 9 or 10. So Satan is the thief who seeks to destroy or kill the sheep. Only Jesus is the door to eternal life and the good shepherd. So when we see it's as simple as those two groups, then you can see why there's a depopulation agenda. Number one, because the Luciferians believe they need to only have so many to control it.
Yep.
Number two, because Satan wants to defy God's ordinance and command to multiply and replenish the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, because he absolutely despises more than anything else the saints of God. Not just Israel, but all the people of God.
Yeah.
You know, both folds. Mm-hmm. Okay, both folds of the Good Shepherd. So if we go to Isaiah chapter 13, they have this agenda to destroy and kill and depopulate and whatever their nefarious motives are. But what they don't understand is God's going to let them go so far, and then he's going to pour his wrath out on them.
Okay.
And if you want to see a depopulation agenda, take a look at the wrath of God.
Okay.
So let's see what the Word of God says about what God is going to do for all that join these Luciferians and connect themselves to the beast and take his mark and say, we're going to be the ones up here looking down at the sheep, you know, the minions,
yeah,
whatever, the 500 million that we're going to allow to exist to serve us. All right. This is what God says to them in Isaiah 13, verse 11. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. And I so look forward to that day when all mm-hmm. the arrogant politicians and billionaires are cast into the lake of fire. I believe, honestly, that we'll be allowed to cheer when it happens. Not because we want to see them suffer, but because perfect vengeance and justice will finally be measured out against all their wickedness.
Wow. Okay.
We will cheer at God's justice and righteousness,
yeah,
not laughing and going, ha ha, you know, it's yeah, not going to be that kind of cheer.
Yeah.
Right. He says, I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold. You know how hard it is to find gold? They spend millions digging,
yeah,
to collect a little bit, right? Even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, which is going to kill untold millions, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. So make no mistake, the earth will be emptied of much of its population.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be that this is in one accord with the will of God to punish humanity because they turned away from him.
Hi, if you're enjoying this podcast, please consider being a full-time subscriber. We are going to use these funds to expand the message and get the word out about what's in the Bible that the world doesn't want you to know about.
That's right, John. We appreciate you listening, but we'd love it if you'd subscribe. That way we can reach more people with the time we have left. So enjoy the rest of the podcast, but think about subscribing if the Lord puts it on your heart.
To subscribe, just go to BibleMysteries.Supercast.com.
Thanks. That he allows the depopulation agenda of the satanic elites and the Luciferians to force all these people to take vaccines and stuff. He's saying, this is the government you wanted. This is the religion you wanted.
Wouldn't that happen before the tribulation period then?
What if it all ties in?
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm reading the book of Revelation right now, so I'm seeing where there's all kinds of stuff happening where there's a third of the population gets wiped out by this,
yeah,
and a third
and
of the
population. And we're going to cover a few of those verses.
Yeah. So, the reason I ask that is because if he's going to allow the depopulation agenda of the Luciferians to happen, what's happening in the tribulation period is coming from God. Right.
Well, what I'm saying is,
you're saying he's using them.
He's using them too.
Yeah.
Only in the sense that he's using the Antichrist to oppress and mm-hmm. afflict.
Yeah.
He's the Assyrian oppressor. He's the rod of mine anger.
So interesting.
In essence, he's saying they think they're promoting their own agenda, but God is using them to punish the earth for its wickedness.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, to me, it's ultimately not going to happen until the dispensation of grace ends and the tribulation begins.
Mm-hmm.
But they're doing things right now. You know, we're suffering, but like the pandemics,
yeah,
and all that stuff and wars, it's all, we've been in the beginning of sorrows for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
So I would say that he's allowing it, if not making sure that they are allowed to do what they do so that it fulfills his will ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know. In Isaiah 24, verse 1, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. Again, I believe the Lord's going to do this. Like you said, it's him causing this to happen,
okay,
in his wrath. But he's also allowing the Luciferians to promote their agenda, or he would stop it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because man said, we don't want you, God.
Yeah.
We want these people. We want utopia. We want socialism. We want whatever, you know. We want Joe Biden to lead us. Mm-hmm. So, all right, then you get the country you get.
Yeah.
I know we didn't elect him, but let's just pretend for the sake of argument that we did. We allowed the steal to happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were some that tried to stop it, but there was no rebellion against it. January 6th was not an insurrection. That was a staged event set up
Yeah.
So there was no insurrection, but there should have been a revolution, another revolution, over this nonsense.
Yeah.
And there wasn't. You know why? Because we're too complacent.
Yeah.
Or we're fearful, or we're not uncomfortable enough to want to make a change. Mm-hmm. And then we get this idiot in chief who's completely oblivious to what's going on, but he's manipulated by whoever behind the scenes. And this is the country you get. Mm-hmm. In the same way, God allows us to elect morons. He allows us to, the puppets behind the moron, to continue to promote these horrible things.
Yeah.
Right? He says, and it shall be as with the people, so with the priest. In other words, it's all going to happen to everybody equally. As with the servant, so with his master. As with the maid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. For the Lord hath spoken this word, the earth mourneth and fadeth away, the earth languisheth and fadeth away, the haughty people of the earth do languish, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, and that's really what we're talking about, the earth is defiled, right? Because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and I think, as we discussed in the past, the ordinance is be fruitful and multiply.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Broken the everlasting covenant, which was between God and man in the days of Noah, mm-hmm. the rainbow,
yeah,
you know, the LGBTQ thing, using the symbol of the rainbow as their movement,
yeah,
in defiance against God. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Wow. Hmm. So though the Lord has other things in store for the wicked population that refuses to repent and turn to him, as we're going to see in the book of Revelation, just like you were referring to, he may use the agenda of the Luciferians to punish the inhabitants of the earth, just as he will use the Assyrian to punish humanity, though they don't think they're being used for his purpose. They think they're doing it themselves.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah. That's a sobering thought.
Yeah.
God's basically saying, all right, I'm going to let you go your own way, with all due respect to Lindsey Buckingham. From Fleetwood Mac. You know?
I was like, where have I heard that before?
I'm going to let you go your own way.
Yeah.
And we'll see how it works out for you.
Yeah.
And it's almost like God's now saying, so how's that working out for you? Mm-hmm. Are you liking what you have? And instead of them saying, no, we hate it, please come back, please fix this, and he's like, no, sorry, that's the bed you made. Uh-huh. You're going to have to deal with it. And so ultimately, yeah, I'm coming back, but I'm coming back with wrath. Mm-hmm. To destroy these things that you've been worshiping and you put in your positions of power in the high places.
Yeah.
Right. One more thing in Matthew, in Isaiah, before we go back to the New Testament, verse 18 of the same chapter, Isaiah 24.
Okay.
I see Matthew on the next slide and I'm reading it. He says, it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it. And it shall fall and not rise again. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high. That's the fallen angels.
Yeah.
And the kings of the earth upon the earth, which may include the Nephilim. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and they shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. And that's probably, you know, the bottomless pit until they're thrown into the lake of fire. Hmm.
Okay.
Then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. Because he's going to completely renovate that city, which is going to be Mystery Babylon. And he's going to cleanse it and purge it and build his temple. You know, not the temple of the Antichrist and the red heifer. So make no mistake, those satanic elites that are instrumental in depopulating the earth will themselves be destroyed by the Lord.
Wow.
Along with their fallen angel gods and the Nephilim hybrids.
So this will all occur, what you just read, at the end of the tribulation or at the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ?
All of this at the end of the tribulation.
Yeah.
Yeah, which starts the beginning of the millennial reign.
Yeah.
So then, recall that we already read it in Genesis, but that God's commandment to Adam was to multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it.
Mm-hmm.
So see, God has his own depopulation agenda based on righteousness, not on like the Georgia Guidestones. Okay. He's punishing the wicked.
Yeah.
Right? For 2,000 years, he's been gracious and he said, I'll let you go do what you want. And he hasn't really lifted a finger to stop all the injustices of the world, other than to preserve his saints. But the days that are coming, it says if he hadn't shortened it, nobody would survive.
Wow.
So we just read a couple of instances in Isaiah that look like, man, who could even survive that? You know? But in Matthew 24, Jesus said in verse 21, then shall there be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. So we're talking now about the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So thankfully, God shortened those days for the elect, which is at that time the tribulation saints.
What does that mean by shortened? I mean, the days are shortened.
He could have poured this wrath out.
Is he talking about sunlight? Or is it like the length of day, the time that people are outside? Or just a 24-hour day is now 18 or something like that?
He's not talking about the days. He's talking about the days.
Oh, the amount of days.
The amount of days, yeah.
Oh,
so okay, if it was like, instead of being 10 years, it's 3.5.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Because if it had gone any longer, there'd be nothing left.
Yeah, right? Okay, that totally makes sense. Yeah.
So in Revelation 8, verse 10, it says, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. So we're going to give just a few examples of the ways in which humanity has chosen their fate by rejecting the God of creation. In addition to allowing these horrible people to take control of the planet, the Luciferians, you know, then God's going to pour out his own wrath at the end. So as if to say, you got something so bad now because of what you chose, but then I've got my wrath stored up.
Yeah.
So we turn to the book of Revelation, and then this is after the third trumpet sounds that all, it didn't say how many, but it says many men will die because of the poisoned water.
And this has become, it looks like a meteor hitting the earth, right?
Yes, it says a great star from heaven, so that could be an angel. It has a name, so Wormwood. So I would suggest it might just be an angel. And you got angels sounding trumpets anyway.
It says a star called Wormwood, capital W, and a third part of the waters became Wormwood,
which is a
lowercase.
Yeah, which is like a poisonous plant. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So trumpets are sounding. The third trumpet sounds, and a bunch of men die because of Wormwood. And then you've got another trumpet sound, the fifth one. And interestingly enough, these hard creatures come out of the bottomless pit in Revelation 9.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this on a break recently, you know, where people, Hal Lindsey thought they were helicopters. But it says in verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. So Like I said, is it possible that a portal is open due to the activity like CERN, trying to unlock other dimensions or the spiritual realm? Worse, these things will actually torment humanity such that they wish they could die. Why do you think death is going to flee to them? I mean, this tells me they're already hybrids.
Yeah.
They've already taken the mark.
So it says only those men which have not have the seal of God in their foreheads.
Yeah.
The only people that are going to have the seal of God in their foreheads is going to be the 144,000. Is that correct?
Unless we're talking about a different seal, which is humanity.
Uh-huh.
Like maybe it's human beings that didn't take the mark.
But would they have a seal? Is there anything that says that they, if you don't take the mark of the beast, that doesn't necessarily mean you have the seal of God, does it?
What I'm saying is, what if the seal of God is that they're genetically DNA humans? What if that is the seal?
Okay.
Which would mean that, let's say, this is going to be a silly analogy, but you remember Star Trek?
Yeah.
Remember the Klingons?
Sure.
Remember what their foreheads looked like?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Bony structures that are clearly not human because they're another race. So what if the Nephilim hybrids have a forehead that's unlike?
You're just saying they're somewhat changed in their appearance.
Yeah. I'm just throwing out the idea that the seal, because you're saying, well, it's only the 144,000 of the seal of God. Well, how do you know the seal isn't they're genetically human beings?
I guess I derived that because I thought that I read about the 144,000 that they, when they were being identified, there were specific things about them. They were all virgins.
Yeah.
I thought it said, and you'll know much better than me, that they all had the seal of God in their foreheads.
Yeah, they are sealed in Revelation 7.
Yeah.
With the seal of God on their foreheads. All I'm trying to say is that the seal may be other than what we think it is.
Yeah.
But if it is a literal marking or stamp, or, you know, we think like a seal of approval or whatever. It doesn't mean that they're the only ones that have the seal. Because if their ministry is to go out and preach and bring more Jews to them, perhaps they get sealed too.
Well, then if you're saying that if you don't take the mark, then you have the seal of God, right? Then that means that these creatures, whatever they are only targeting the ones that have the mark of the beast.
Right.
Right.
That's what I would argue, because there's another point at which a noisome and grievous sore falls upon those that have the mark.
Yeah.
Okay, now if it's a disease, how are diseases discriminate?
You know,
it's got to be genetics.
Hmm. Wow.
Because if a virus is being spread and everybody's coughing, you're going to catch it if you're in the air. But what if it's something like it only affects those that have been genetically modified?
Well, it makes sense that then it says it torments them for 5 months. People wish they could die, but they can't, right?
For 5 months.
Well, if you're a normal guy and you haven't been genetically altered in some way by a mark, you'd probably be killed by these things, right?
But they're not going to attack you.
They're not going to attack you. That's our point, right? So they're not going to target the people that have not taken the mark. They're going to somehow know. Maybe it's a homing mechanism or something like that. Boom, there's the guy that's got the mark, and they're just going to start torturing those people. Or I don't know. This is wild, man. Yeah. This is sci-fi wild,
it is
weird
absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely. That's why I'm telling people that the Bible is not a boring book.
Yeah.
In the same chapter, in verse 13, a sixth angel sounds a trumpet. So we got the third, fifth, now the sixth. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay the third part of men.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000 or 200 million.
Yeah.
And I heard the number of them. And we've described it before, but this hideous army of horsemen come forth from the river, and they're like fire-breathing monsters, burning people up as they go. And they're going to kill a third part of men. So this is what's in store, you know. They're trying to depopulate us, and then here's God saying, well, do your worst, but I've got something in store too. In Revelation 16, to wrap this up, there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. The entire chapter, you can read about all the seven vials.
Yeah.
That something horrible is poured out every time. But this is just one that includes grievous sores in the chapter. Grievous sores that for those who took the mark, like we just described. Turning the sea and rivers to blood so men won't be able to drink. scorching men with fire due to the sun burning them. And by the way, global warming or climate change is happening, mm-hmm. but it's not because of men. It's because the sun's heating up.
Okay.
Because every planet in the solar system is experiencing climate change right mm-hmm. now. And the magnetic field is reducing and all this stuff is happening to allow for this.
So you don't think if we, like, fly planes and spray stuff all over the atmosphere, we can't combat the sun?
That's probably
what, call those things?
They're doing to kill us. Chemtrails.
Chemtrails, that's what that stuff is.
Yeah. And then one of the things is intense, painful darkness. Darkness so thick that it's painful.
Hmm. Painful and to your mind?
Body. I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine. Whatever this darkness is, it's supernatural. It's not just like you sitting in a tank. You know, it's, tank. What do you call those things? Those,
things where you
sensory
float?
Sensory deprivation chamber.
Yeah, you float on salt water.
I call it a tank. And then these great hailstones, the weight of a town, I think that's like 100 pounds. Can you imagine 100-pound hail?
Yeah, if that hit you, you're done.
Oh, man.
You're done. Or you're going to hope you're done.
You're pulverized.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all of this is going to take place on the wicked that join the Antichrist and allow the satanic elites to accomplish what they're trying to do right now. Their depopulation agenda is to lay the groundwork for the government of the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
But take heart, because we have this promise, and I always like to remind people of it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul said, "And to wait for a son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Mm-hmm. So that's the purpose of the rapture. We're not appointed to wrath. We're going out. But those that reject Jesus Christ run the risk of going through all this.
So let me ask you, and I know you said that we're going to do a podcast upcoming on how people get saved during the tribulation period, mm-hmm. right? So we won't talk about that because some study needs to go into that. But I know a lot of people think about their loved ones, family, friends, whatever. People living during the tribulation period, if you don't take the mark, what are you doing? Are you hiding in the woods?
Yeah.
I mean, what's going on here? You're hiding indoors?
We can make that a part of that discussion about salvation, because one thing I do know is when Jesus comes back, in Matthew 25, verse 31, it says he gathers all nations and he separates them as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats.
Yeah.
You're familiar with that passage.
Yeah.
And the goats are set on the left hand and the sheep are set on the right. Now, this is not Israel. These are the nations. He's come back. He's restored Israel. They're now a kingdom of priests, and they're over the nations. So then he takes the rest of the nations, separates them. The ones on the left, the ones on the right. To the ones on the right, and these would have been human beings that did not take the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
Because everybody else would have been destroyed. And there may be few, you know, but they're going to be there.
Yeah.
And he's going to say to them, "Come inherit the kingdom prepared for you." So the millennial reign of Christ is for those nations. Mm-hmm. He's prepared for them from the foundation of the world. And he says, "Why?" And they go, "Why?" And he says, "I was hungry and you gave me meat. Thirsty and you gave me drink." On and on. "You visited me in prison," whatever. Well, when are the brethren of the Lord going to be hungry and in prison? During tribulation.
Yeah.
During persecution of the Antichrist. So they can't buy or sell because they don't have the mark of the beast. So they're hungry. They're mm-hmm. sick. They can't buy medicine, whatever. There's going to be other people, Gentiles, nations, mm-hmm. that don't take the mark either. And maybe they're hoarding or they have some money or so, you know, preppers, whatever you want to call it, you know.
But they're helping the Jewish people during
that
time. Yeah,
they're helping the brethren.
So, that so sounds like... I mean, when the Nazis were going through and getting people,
yes.
and you got like Anne Frank yeah. hiding in an attic, or, you know, that's just one story, but it sounds just like that.
Very
like
similar.
You had people that were hiding Jews in their houses or whatever. That,
right.
I mean.
So what if they're doing that
yeah.
on a large scale? You know, the black market, you know, call it what you want. They're finding ways around the system of the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And they endure to the end. So they're rewarded to go into the kingdom of heaven, which they're not saved necessarily. They're righteous because of what they did. They get to go into the kingdom where they will have the word preached to them. The ones on the left hand are the goats, and they didn't do those things.
Yeah.
Also didn't take the mark or they wouldn't be there.
So they just looked out for themselves.
They did. So maybe they also stockpiled weapons and food and whatever and medicine, but they didn't help the brethren of the Lord, Israel.
Interesting.
And so he says to them, depart ye workers of iniquity into everlasting fire reserved for the devil and his angels. And they get burned up.
Oof. Wow.
All because they didn't honor the brethren of the Lord. There's something going on during that time, John, that's almost unimaginable.
That's pretty fascinating. I never knew all that.
Yeah. So we'll dive into that. When we do that episode about salvation message in the time of tribulation, we need to focus on what's really going on there and try to get a broad picture. It might be more than one episode.
Yeah, and like I said, when I was kind of asking that question, I think a lot of Christians who have family members who are not Christians or friends or whatever, and we worry about them, we say, if the rapture happened today, what would happen to this person? Right? I believe that they wouldn't take the mark because I've been talking to them about it, right? I've been telling them this is coming, and they're going to all of a sudden say, holy cow, Scott was right. It happened. Now I know not to take the mark. But what's going to be going on during that time period to those people, my loved ones, after I'm gone and I've been telling them about don't take the mark, don't take the mark, and they blew me off and blew me off, whatever, then all of a sudden they're in the thick of it. What's going on at that time? Yeah. So anyways, that's a whole other study.
Right. Wow. And there's a verse that indicates that those that heard the message of grace right now but rejected it, and then the rapture happens and they're left behind us, so to speak. There's reason to believe that they will be sent the strong delusion and they will not be able to recover.
Yeah.
It's going to be those that never heard and never rejected. So we'll dive into it. That's a great episode.
Yeah.
A great topic for an episode. So thanks, John.
Yeah.
Thanks for giving me lots of great ideas this week.
That's what I'm here for. All right. Ask crazy off-the-wall questions.
Well, maybe they're not so crazy then. Maybe you should stop beating yourself up over that, because I think your ideas, believe it or not, are the same thoughts that other people are having.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here, I hope. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for tuning in and listening and sharing the podcast. So next time, Lord willing, we'll see you. Till then, be sure to look up, for our redemption draws near.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, please consider subscribing to our premium ad-free content at BibleMysteriesPodcast.com.